All right, again, what a wonderful statement. Let's open our Bibles. Praise the Lord. We're opening our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, and we're in the 6th chapter. And we're in the midst of the 28 planks, as sweet Brother Copley so wonderfully had mentioned these planks or these evidences of the true ministry of the grace of God in our lives. And I had a sweet brother mention about, well, brother, have you been thinking about the definition of ministry as you've been in this? And I said, well, I appreciate that. And I've been really thinking about that definition because this is the definition of the ministry. I hope we understand that. I mean, there's nothing more fulfilling than all of these wonderful evidences of this life that is being blessed. The glory of the Lord living through us. What greater ministry could we ever have? But if you look up that word, it's somewhat interesting because it says it's to bring forth the message of another. Isn't that something? To be an agent of another. But I really enjoyed this one I found. It's to be an agent of power. Are you an agent of power? I hope we are. Praise be to God, we're agents of power. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more powerful than this wonderful evidence of all of these precious promises that God said in this ministry that would come forth. And you'll notice again that this ministry is not what man thinks today. We think of this ministry of being something to many people, to hordes of people, or great cathedrals, giant crowds, whatever it may be, evangelizing. This ministry is to the individual. And that's what's so precious about this time. And let me tell you something. When you're trying to woo somebody for marriage, you don't get around a group. You don't get around a bunch of people. You get yourself alone with them. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing now. He's wooing you. And this wonderful evidence of this ministry of receiving His wondrous proposal is being made manifest in many lives. And praise be to God, we're in a time that this can be manifest in our life. Now, we're going to start tonight in verse 9. And we've been, like I said, in these different parts and types of this ministry. And we read, and I believe it's so precious again to just go back over this. But these planks came in a couple forms already. The first planks, it said in. The word is in that third and fourth verse. You'll see there it says in patience, in afflictions, in distresses, in stripes. And we saw that this is starting to become such a wonderful type of the bride. This is such a wonderful type of those four living ones. The four characteristics that will be present and are required to be present in the life of the ones that will marry Christ, the ones that will be accounted for this wonderful bridal call, the ones that will meet the Lord in the air. And we saw that these first ones of these types of ministry, or this, I should say, evidence of ministry, in verses 4 and 5, this inn represented that calf that we see in Mark. This is the sacrifice. The ones that, again, this is those different things that we go through, whether it's the stripes, the imprisonments. And then we saw the word by in the 6th and 7th. And we saw there that truly is the Spirit working that wonderful power in us. The eagle that is seen in the book of John. But now it's so wonderful, as we get to verse 9, you'll notice it will say, as and then yet. It says, as and then yet. And how precious this is, because this is as the tents of Kedar. You'll find that in the Song of Solomon. Yet, the curtains of Solomon. And brothers and sisters, I think this is an absolute must. We must see ourselves by the grace of God as that lowly man that is seen in Luke. Yes, he was very God of very God, but he was also a man. He became a man. You know it. And he lived as that man. And he lived that perfect life as that man. To be suffered and tried and tempted and everything as anything that we would ever face. And then at the same time, we see that we're also seated in the heavens in Christ. And in that, that is that wonderful king, that lion that's seen in Matthew. So we always carry about us this humility by the grace of God, knowing what He has brought us from, always knowing the man, in a sense, that I was. But praise be to God that I am seated in the heavens in Christ, and the man that I am in Him. Praise the Lord. And that's that royalty that He is offering to each and every one of us to be a king. Isn't that such a wonderful realization? And I believe that that is the call, and that's why we come together and to read about this wonderful high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. So let's begin in verse 9 here. It says, as unknown and yet well known. Now, think about what they were talking about, Brother Paul, as we've read. He was a nobody, they said, wasn't he? Huh? They said, well, where are your letters of commendation? Remember what they were saying to him? Where are your papers? But I want to rely on that Jesus Christ called him a chosen vessel unto me. So whose words are you going to believe? See, are you going to believe what people say about you? Are you going to believe what the person says about you? The very God of very God. See, I was talking to a young man in my office today. I said, the only difference between you and me is you got to start seeing God how He sees you. See, I look in a mirror, and by the grace of God, I see the Christ that is living in me. You're looking in the mirror and you're still seeing something that you're not. You got to see the very Christ that lives in you. That's the life you live. You're His. Praise God. I am His. I am no more anything but His. Praise the Lord. Then it goes on to say, and we need to hurry along here, as dying, but behold, we live. And if you go back to 2 Corinthians 4:10, that 2 Corinthians 4:10, it was so sweetly said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Are you presenting yourself or your life a living sacrifice to Him? Huh? What are you picking up today? Are you picking up all the accolades of men? Are you picking up all of those kind things that everybody's speaking well of you? Are you doing that? Or are you picking up your cross? See, that's what God is requiring us. If you're going to come after me, you're going to have to pick up your cross. It's very clear. It's very clear what He's called us to. You want to know me? You really want to know me? You're going to know me in the fellowship of my sufferings. You're going to know me in the power of my resurrection. Praise God. But if you're really going to know me, you're going to be made conformable even unto death. Isn't that wonderful? That God has so cared for us, but He also calls you son. You realize that? Well, praise the Lord. The expectation of His Son working in us, isn't that a wonderful thing? But it goes on to say, as chastened and not killed. That comes from Psalm 118, 18. And David says there, the Lord has chastened me sore. Huh? Lord chastening you sore? But He said, but He has not given me over to death. Whom He loves, He chastens. You know that. He's after you. Praise the Lord. And He is a jealous God. You've heard me say it many times before. You accepted Him. You're marked. You're His. You're not your own. He's going to come after you. And that's the promise that He's given. He so loves you. And then as He has drawn you into this wonderful message of His proposal of His love toward you, He heard you when you uttered those words, I will go. And He's going to bring it on. And He told us very specifically in His word how this was going to happen. How that wife that has made herself ready, what He's going to do to ready that life. And it's going to be a life that's going to have that type of Christ's life and have that very manifestation of the wonderful growth, the maturity of the mature sons of God that are ready to be offered. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ came to that point in His life. He was ready to be offered. He knew that His His time of his departure was at hand. He knew that. Brother Paul knew that as well too. Isn't that wonderful that you could enter into that type of relationship with Christ? And Brother Paul so clearly told us that after that wonderful statement, I am ready to be offered and all of those things and how he had kept the faith and he had finished. But he said, you know what? This isn't just for me. This crown that he's going to give to me at that day, it's not just for me. But it's unto you all also tonight here at 1701 South Sherman that are loving my appearing. I hope and my expectation is I am preaching to the Church of Philadelphia this evening. Man. You're in here somewhere. And the Lord is encouraging me through His Word. We're following Paul as he followed Christ. What a treasure. All right. Verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I was reading about this, and praise God, I believe that we're going to talk about that powerhouse of joy in our life maybe on Sunday. I don't know. I never want to, again, you can't corner God anyways, but I let Him corner me, and sometimes He puts a thought on my heart that way. But again, this joy, this rejoicing, we're going to go through hardships. We understand that. But as Brother Paul said in Philippians 4:4, he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of times he encouraged himself a double portion right there in the Lord. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. Again he said, I therein do rejoice. He was going through a time at that time, wasn't he? He was in that prison. But that's where God brought him the very joy book of the Bible. No other place it was going to happen. It had to be there. It had to be at those moments. It had to be at that time when all in Asia had forsaken him. Yeah. You talk about a ministry. Well, here I am ready to preach and nobody showed up. But yet it was in that moment that God brought to him the joy book of the Bible. He had to coax those to get him out to say, hey, don't be afraid, please. Bring me a coat, I'm cold. But you know what, even if you forget that because you're so afraid basically of what's going on right now, remember to bring me the Word of God. And don't think that's what wasn't going on in those people's minds. He said, if you're so panicked, if you're so distraught, if you're in such despair, but if you can come to me, I'll tell you what, you're probably going to forget everything. But the one thing don't forget the Word of God. Praise the Lord. As poor, yet making many rich. And how, praise God, this ministry of grace, it's the only thing that's going to make you rich. It's the exceeding riches of His what? Of His grace. Praise the Lord. How do we grow? We grow in grace. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all about that wondrous grace. That's what makes us rich. And if you look to see what a wonderful type of Christ this is, just turn the page there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And look what it says here about our wondrous Lord. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And what was the poverty? See, that's the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? Him becoming poor to make me rich was the very grace of God. And what riches He's made us. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, as yet having nothing. Do you see the tense of Kedar so magnified in this? Yes, I'm dark, I'm comely and all these things. But at the same time, praise the Lord, I am as the very curtains of Solomon. Yes, that's the Lord. And I hope we know without Him, we are nothing. But in Him, my potential, oh my goodness. It's everything. It's all mine. He told me it's mine. It's all mine. Praise the Lord. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. Let's go to Ephesians 2 for a minute and let's rejoice a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 7. But God. Oh, see, I hear grace calling out to me there. How about you? But God. Huh? That's Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together. See, not just quickened, not just made us alive, but raised us up together with Him, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that just wow? I'm starting to understand why those Ephesians, they were called fully purposed. Did you know that's what that means? Fully purposed. Are you fully purposed about it? Nothing holding back. Why do you think at the church of Ephesus, he said, there's just one thing I have against you. You've left your first love. He gave them this message in the Ephesians of the high water mark. This is the high water mark of the Word of God. Hallelujah. What riches we have. To get them, you got to be fully purposed. I will go. I was reading about Brother David. Got so excited. There he was. Such a failure flop. Wonderful. Absolutely marvelous. There was old Saul. A goodly man. Oh, outstanding. Tall. All those things that a boy would always want to be. But you know what? There was one that fully went after the Lord. Fully went after Him. And that's who He was pleased in. He took that grace and He ran with it. He took that grace and He said, I'm favored. He took that grace and He says, I'm accepted. He took that grace and He said, I'm forgiven. And He took that grace and He says, and I'm just going to go into the court. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, it's grace. Absolute victory in this ministry, brothers and sisters. This, if you want a ministry, these are the planks. This is the bridge that if you ever wanted to reach somebody, allow this ministry, allow this testimony to be alive and living in your life. This truly is the victory of the bridal ministry. And you don't hear much about this, do you? Oh, no. Because this isn't the way of the world. This isn't the way of the world's Christianity today. Oh, no. You need to be papered. Got to have a PhD, don't you? Huh? Brother Copley was so sweet. He said, I have a hard time forgetting my education. He used those big words once in a while. Appreciated that, brother. Oh, yeah. Got to be broadcast everywhere. And we got to think about numbers. Had a man tell me the other day, oh, man, you got 400 or 500 people maybe in your church, it looks like. And I tell you, see, now you got to get to the next level and the next level and the next level. I said, you know, are you talking about the level of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, if we can attain that level, then we're just out of sight. And I intend to be out of sight here pretty soon. How about you? But see, that's the difference. That's what they're going after. But see, this is shunned. Well, you didn't do something right. See, Brother Paul brought this. And you saw what happened to this brother. Now, I'm not saying the Lord will have us go that way. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe this brother was a specific chosen vessel for the epitome of that to be worked in that life. And he was the one that was shown that won him. He was the only one that stated, I am ready. I am ready. That life was the only life that said, I am ready for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He knew it. And he was the living example of it. And that's why Jesus Christ in his word tells us, you follow that brother as he followed me. He's got it. I gave it to him. The chief of sinners. All by grace. Not going to work any other way. It's a gift. It's a gift. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. Verse 11. It says there, oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. And isn't that precious that Brother Paul knew that he could open his mouth to them because his heart was full of the love of God, and let that speak to you. Keep your mouth shut if your heart is not full of the love of God. Oh, big time. What poison comes out of this thing? The sharp sword this tongue can be. It's a poison asp. All of those things. But Jesus Christ, He knows. And don't open our mouth unless we be in the love of God. Yeah. We need that speech of truth in love. Speaking truth in love. That's what will cause us to grow up into Him in all things. Huh? Praise God. It wasn't just grow up. It wasn't just to grow up in things. See, this is the absolute totalness, completeness of our God in all things. Wow. He's got it under control, is what he's really getting at all the time. He said, it's so complete, it's so exact, it's so perfect, it couldn't be of you anyways. It has to be of me doing this work in your life. And I just have to continue to remember, it's because he's God. It's because he's God. All right. Verse 12, going on. Ye are not straitened in us. That means you're not unloved in us. But ye are unloved in your own bowels. What he's saying, it's not us, it's you. We love you. This enmity that you're having, it's not with me, it's within you. You've got to understand this. That's just the enemy telling you these things. And brothers and sisters, we get caught up into that a lot. You know, whether it's self-pity, whatever, just our minds running amok. Oh, woe is me kind of thing. I don't know what it may be, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, you are loved. You are loved. And I believe that people love you in this meeting. Absolutely. I believe that there is agape love in this place. Now, you're going to find some in this place that may not have it. Absolutely. Are you going to dwell on that? Or are you going to dwell on the agape love that's present? Dwell on these things. You want excuses to leave? They're all over. I got a big list in there. I wrote them down one time. This morning. No. Just throw that one away. It's love. And it's here because Jesus Christ is here. So again, I will go. I will go. Thank you, Lord. We have this message. I will go. All right, 13. Now for a recompense, and that word there, recompense, is a reward. In the same, I speak as unto my children. Now he loved them so, but notice how he speaks to the Corinthians. They're children. This message is grow up, but it's still children. Because they're still at enmity. They're still saying, oh, you don't love me. The problem's with you, Paul. No, it's not. I'm giving you the word of God. And think how patient this brother was. Huh? And he was just patient in the Lord. The Lord had him there. And he said, Lord, I'll accept it. This is where I need to be. And the Lord was growing him up too. Because he needed to grow up that love. That love that's patient and kind and long-suffering. And temperate. All those different things. That's the love that needed to be matured. So again, don't think too highly of yourself in this love. Because then you've just kind of taken a step back. You want to keep on moving on with God. And this is what this sweet brother is so showing in so many things here. But he says, be ye also enlarged. And I think about how he mentions this now for a recompense. This is the reward. Remember a couple chapters ago, we read about the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. that He is a rewarder. And praise God, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And what He encourages these children is to be enlarged. Huh? How about grow up? Become mature. And how was Paul enlarged just a couple verses ago? It was the love of God. That's the enlargement. That's the only way you're going to grow. You're going to grow in that love, because that is the grace of God. It's His love alive and growing in my life. That's His wonderful grace. That is all pleasing to our wonderful Lord. Okay, now going on to verse 14. We'll go ahead and read verses 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. These little children are the temple of the living God. All right. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that precious? Now see, on the surface here, we see that this is such a wonderful, precious verse that is encouraging us an obvious separation with the world. Huh? Oh yes, an obvious separation with the world. But it's going much further than that. We're going to touch on that this evening. This is going on to the fellowship, even spiritual fellowship, religious fellowship. And this is covering, brothers and sisters, every relationship. Not just relationships between man and wife. Absolutely, it's included here. But this is including any relationship that we have, and we need to be sensitive to this. We're in a time of this high calling, and we want to be in accordance with the very will of God working in our life. Now, these verses that we've read here magnify the necessity of being separated to Christ Jesus. Sanctification, as it's called, is the highest calling of I will go. And in this wonderful scripture here, we're given five tests. And I think of that five. It is the grace of God. But five tests whether we should be in fellowship. And the first one it says here is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. All right? Well, unrighteousness covers the sinner right there. So I don't have that fellowship. Sure, we're in this world. But the Lord said, keep them from the evil that's in this world. All right? Now this unrighteousness, brothers and sisters, it's very apparent. He's talking about the sinner here. He's talking about the one that doesn't know Christ as Savior. We need to be a light by the grace of God. The light shines through us. I want to be a testimony to the things of God. I want to testify. I want to be able to see souls by the grace of God and how valuable they are to the Lord. But if that life does not want to move on with God, there is no fellowship. It's over. You are wasting your time. And the Word of God said rather, redeem the time. All right? So that one right there is so obvious. It's just right in your face. That's the very unrighteousness that's out there. Unfortunately, we do get caught up into that because we want to be part of a worldly scene. We think that that is something that gives us status or makes us happy. And we're going to talk about happenings maybe Sunday, but let me tell you something. Happenings are not joy. That's not joy. And there they will rob you because that's feeling and joy is faith. That's the fact. God made you. You're not the determiner of what makes you happy. You may think you are. You died. And the life you now live is this. It's the truth. And it'll make you so happy. It'll make you beyond happy into joy. Praise God. And that's a continual thing. It's consistent, isn't it? Haven't you found that joy is a consistent thing? That even in your sorrow, He brings you joy. And He turns the sorrow. See, He used to bring people out of sorrow. I was reading about that. It's so amazing. In the Old Testament, you read it, you read about how He brought them out of sorrow and brought them into joy. But in the New Testament, He says, I turn your sorrow into joy. You know why? Because you understand the plan of God, brothers and sisters. It's magnificent. I just so thrilled how magnificent it is. So, the first one is unrighteousness. That's the first test. The second one is darkness. All right? Now you think about it. Do you know Christians that want to reside in darkness? I do. Absolutely. You're somebody's servant out there. If you're going to yield to the flesh, you can have it. Or you can yield to the Spirit. Praise God. All right? There's Belial, means worthless, vanity. Is that what you're fellowshipping with? The next one is infidelity versus faith. Oh, right there. Infidelity versus faith. Are we adhering to the high calling? Infidelity doesn't sound much like I'm going to marry somebody, does it? Oh, no. By the grace of God, His faithfulness causes me to be faithful in a few things. Little strength? Praise God. That's what He can do. That's what He is implanting in our lives at this time. The fifth one is idolatry. And He says, from such things, turn away. But brothers and sisters, this message is going much further than this. It's really receiving the calling for Christ, my bridegroom. That's what He's after here. Turn with me. Let's keep going on with this. Turn with me. We have a little bit of time. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. All right? Now you'd say, well, why are we talking about that? Because we're talking about the yoke. All right? Now, I hope many of you understand what a yoke is, but it's a big piece of wood that they used to lie across the back, and still do in different parts of the country and different parts of the world, across two beasts. And they would lay it, that's 22:10, and you lay it across the two beasts on their back, and then they would have like a leather harness that would come under their necks, and it would bring them together. They couldn't part. They were in it together. They were in the suffering together. They were in the serving together. They were actually in bondage together. You're a prisoner for Jesus Christ? Praise God if you are. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in that, he says, we're not going to harness up the ox and the ass. And the reason is because their step and their pull is not equal. All right. Now let's talk about that. The ox is a big animal. All right. That little ass is little. All right. It's not very big. So obviously their stride, their gait is different. So their step is different. They're not in sync. Then also their pull is different. One is pulling from maybe up here and the other one's pulling from down here. And you know what a yoke is used for? A yoke is used to steer them. The farmer would steer them. So I ask you this, if you're unequally yoked, how is God going to steer that? Brothers and sisters, it has been heavy on my heart. That's why we went on Sunday and we talked about these relationships. Godly relationships. God wants you equally yoked. And you're missing it if you don't adhere to what He's telling you. Oh, I don't want to go through life honestly saying, what could have been? What could have been? Greatest relationship, naturally speaking, like we rejoiced on Sunday, is that between a husband and wife. God is faithful. If you're in a relationship that in a marriage where you are unequally yoked, you trust God for it. But I'm preaching to those that are entering these relationships. Allow God to direct you and bring you into an equally yoked union. All right? That's the importance. That's the call of what this message is about in these verses. See, this yoke, again, it means united. United in subjection to the Lord. Go with me to Amos 3:3. And I won't even turn there, but it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Did you hear that? Can two walk together except they be agreed? I always remember my daddy saying, he said, you know, how are we expecting these countries to get along with each other when I can't even get along with my neighbor to build a fence? It's the truth. So you think about that. You think about how fragile and how we go off so quickly if we don't get our own way a lot of times in that. But how much more so when we're talking about relationships? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And why are we surprised when we get in them? Well, can you imagine, Mom, that she doesn't want to do that? Well, she doesn't want to come to church now. Or he didn't want to have kids. How about talking about these things? Two must be agreed. You'd say, well, it really makes sense. Sure, it does. It makes godly sense. And this is what God is calling out to us, that we need to be agreed with what God and His doctrine, oh yes. And what is the doctrine that we have? It's a bridal doctrine. Wow. I remember talking to kids, and I hear them now today, well, that left about four kids that I could marry. No. Trust God. When you let God make the choice, He always makes the best one. And He does His best in that one. Because it's His choice, isn't it? And so it's going to be good. And He'll bring it. We just need to wait on the Lord. He brought me a wife out of Texas. We used to write funny things about Texans in a book, and never mind. Huh? He had her sister come into the meeting, and she wasn't even part of the meeting, and I didn't even know who she was. God's for you. God's for you. He really is. And He'll bring what you need if you'll wait. He'll bring exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. If you wait. All right. Let's keep going. So, we see here that a compromise equals an unequal fellowship. And we become unfaithful truly to this calling. And it is so true that often, and as in most cases, you will sink to the lowest level of fellowship. All right? Now, there's a lot of us that have an attitude that we're going to go save the world. Not just necessarily save the world, but save that person. I'm going to go help them. And I think there's some merit behind it, but usually there's a selfish interest in it. I just want to be with them. Come on now. Be honest. Huh? I'm going to help them, but it's really what I desire, so we'll disguise it in that. And what happens is you usually sink to the lowest level. So this is why God is calling us out to His Word. And He's saying it can be so rich and so good and so wonderful. And I think of that wonderful scripture. Gather yourselves, assemble yourselves. The much, the more as you see that day approaching. And my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said to me, Son, what day are you looking for? I think the same day that you all are looking for, by the grace of God, the day that I meet Him in the air. Now I ask you honestly, when you talk to Christians, and God wants everybody to have this message because it's His message, how many truly are looking for the day to meet Him in the air? I want to fellowship with people that want to meet Him in the air. I love all my family, don't get me wrong. I love kids. I love working with kids. I love young adults. But I married an adult. And that's who I wanted to be with. That's who I wanted to fellowship with. That day. Huh? So that's the encouragement, is that day. That doesn't mean that you exclude yourself from everybody. I'm not trying to do that. Don't let the devil try to twist that in you. But I'm talking about yoking yourself together with somebody. There's a difference. I love all God's people. I love everybody because of the Lord in my life. That's the truth. But I love them so much, you know what? I want them to come to a full knowledge of the truth. And you know why? Because that's the will of God. See, the ministry today, brothers and sisters, is not what man is telling us to go save the world. That's not it. I have to watch out, I say. What? Save the whales? Sorry. But I'm not going to mock God, because this isn't the time to save the world. This is the time for the individual to be saved from the tribulation. Isn't that wonderful? The Great Commission is to meet the Lord in the air. That's it. That's what's so precious about this time. It's to the individual. I rejoice, he that winneth souls is wise. But he that wins me wins the prize. You think about that. That's the message of today. That's His ministry today. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 36. Keep on with this thought. And this is, I think, such a sweet portion of Scripture. Numbers chapter 36, verse 7. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. Let's read that again. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Now there's 12 tribes out there. Okay? And what this is encouraging is that there's no inheritance sharing here. And this really is a wonderful type. These children of Israel were all children of Israel. This is a type of all the believers. And it is. And so wonderful here is this heritage and inheritance, it's been given to us. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. We have inherited, first of all, I'm not talking about the inheritance as a child of the king. No, I'm talking about riches. I'm talking about if I suffer with him, I shall reign with him type of inheritance. But brothers and sisters, we can lose that inheritance of exceeding riches by wrong relationships. And this wonderful portion of Scripture here proves it. Let's go on with it. Hold that fast which that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is that inheritance we're talking about. And how true this was. There were 12 tribes. All right? 10 of those tribes were collectively brought together and called Israel. Did you know that? They collapsed basically into one. They were referred to as Israel. That group of those 10 tribes never had a godly king. They never did. And after Assyria took over, their history as a nation in the scriptures was gone. They were never mentioned again. Those 10 tribes were done. But there were 2, Judah and Benjamin, that continued on, and they were collectively called Judah. And praise the Lord, if you know your Bible, what wealth came out of there? Oh, amen, Jesus came out of there. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Rahab was part of that. Oh, don't say that. All by grace. All by grace. But see, what might have been, if you think about, if that tribe of Judah and Benjamin had married outside of their inheritance, the loss that could have been. Do you see that? Do you see how important our choices are? We're in a time that Jesus could come tonight. And all He's asked is that I would love His appearing. That's the requirement. That's the threshold. Do I really love Your appearing? Lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me? Oh yeah, I love you. Got to get back to eating. Peter, do you love me? I love you. I got to talk to John. No, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me that everybody just left the room? Do you love me that you're not getting back into that food again? Do you love me that you're not running back into that world again? Do you love me more than these? That's the offer that's on the table right now to us. And you've heard me say it again and again, and by the grace of God, I believe I'll say it again and again. I don't believe you would naturally marry anybody that wasn't really on you. That focus on you, that focus on what you're going to be together. You see the train wrecks coming sometimes in marriages and kids that want to get together and those focuses aren't there. And you don't have to be a genius to say that's not going to work. This is the greatest lover of all time. He is. You talk about a jealous God. Doesn't want you looking anywhere else. Doesn't. Just wants you loving Him. Oh my. But see, brothers and sisters, we have an inheritance by birth. We do. But we have exceeding riches of joint heirship by revelation and possession. So the call to us this evening ends up in that 18th verse. I believe that's what it is. Let's go back there. Or I should say the 17th verse. It says, come out. It says, be separate. It says, touch not. Brother Copley mentioned, he says, even if you don't live in a smokehouse, listen to this, even if you don't live in the smokehouse, if you go to visit, you're going to still smell like smoke. You're going to bring it with you. It's just going to be there. The signs of it are going to be there. You're going to smell like it. To be satisfied with Jesus alone, the singleness of heart, choosing godly choices today, that's what He's calling us to. And you'll see the evidence of that in chapter 7, verse 1. And I will close with this. We're going to go just a little bit over, but I believe that the Lord is encouraging me to mention this verse in it. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Now look at this. They went from children to dearly beloved. Now what's going on here? This is the cry. This is the cry of much love. This is the cry of come on now. It's time to go. Having these promises of I will receive you, that I'm walking in you and I'm dwelling in you and I'm with you always. Let us. That's the yielding, brothers and sisters. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Perfecting holiness. I had a dear conversation with a brother today. In the fear of God. Now, let's not be anxious to get home. Those Rockies may be losing for all we know, and you wouldn't want to see that anyways. So let's hang in here. This is forever. Hebrews, and I'm going to just cut it short. You can write these verses. Hebrews 11:33, it says, we obtain promises by what and through what? Faith. Faith. We obtain, we receive by faith. All right? We've been blessed with everything. But to get it by faith. Hebrews 11:39-40. Well, we are going to turn there because you and I both need to read this because this is exciting stuff. This is our ultimate promise. Now read this and listen to these words and understand what he's talking about here. In the 39th verse, he says, and these all, talking about all of these worthies of faith, he's just got through all of this. Whether it was by faith Joshua, by faith Rahab, by faith Isaac, by faith Moses. This is the Canton, Ohio, if you want to think of it. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith in the Word of God. And here they all are. And just incredible. The Moses, the Elijah, all of these different ones. And these, it says, all having obtained a good report. And the only way you're going to get a good report is through faith. What does it say here? They received not the promise. They didn't get it. They did not get the promise. They get upset with me when that's flashing in my eyes. They did not get the promise. Because why? Go to 40. Here's the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. That's you. That's you. And we're always going back, oh, I wish I was Moses. I wish I had that faith. I wish I could talk face to face with God as a friend. I wish. Do you realize how you can talk to God that Moses could never talk to him? Oh, my. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Oh my, that word perfected, here we are, that perfect, perfected. See, this is the ultimate promise that he's given. Now do you understand why these guys are groaning? Everybody's groaning. For what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, this is exciting. Are you reading yourself in here? Praise the Lord by faith, I hope you are. Sure, we already know that we're holy. Do you know that you're holy? Did you know that you would never be any more holy than at that moment that you received Christ as Savior? But it's talking about perfected holiness. Perfected holiness. And that word perfected, I'm going to tell you, it means matured. It means fully complete. It means finished. And even, and I'm telling you, go read it for yourself, it means telio. Only God could do that. See, if you can't cry that finished victory with Jesus Christ in that finished love, in that finished joy that was set before Him, with the finished joy that is set before us, you're not going to be in holy matrimony in a sense with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. That's why He's saying this is that finished. Grow up in the same fully matured image. And again, how is that happening? That word cleansed, 14 through 18, we read about it. Separated from God, separated from the world to God. You'll notice here that it has two things, brothers and sisters, and I will close with this. There's a fleshly defilement, and there's a spiritual defilement. When we are separated to God from this world, He takes care of that fleshly defilement. And through the Word, we are cleansed from spiritual defilement. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the one that we are fighting the most is the spiritual defilement. Are we really set for the defense of the gospel? Are we starting to let our guard down to say, well, I'm getting a little tired of getting beat up so. It's a little too hard for me to leave mom and to leave dad and to leave the familiar. But Jesus Christ said, let me tell you something. He that's not going to leave that willingly isn't worthy of me. And that's the call, brothers and sisters. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you can go look at it yourself. Every bit separated to God. Body, soul, and spirit. Nothing held back. In marriage, by the grace of God, I said I was all hers. And in marriage to Him, by the grace of God, in readiness as His wife, I say I am all yours, Lord. Amen. I've become one with You. Separated, oh hallelujah, only to be joined. Leaving, only to cleave unto You. My friend, my love, my soulmate, my everything. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You for this invitation, for the hand of Your Son. Lord, we thank You again for dealing with us so. Help us to just run well, to redeem these moments of Your dealings with us, Lord God. Help us to treasure and rejoice in the Lord. Yea, and again I say, rejoice. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.